Welcome to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Dr. Owen Strand, and I'll be your host. Join us each week as we engage the city of man with the biblical wisdom of the city of God. The pleasures of poetry are subversive, and perhaps always have been. So says poet A.E. Stallings in a recent piece entitled, Why Bother with Poetry?, published on TLS Online. A.E. Stallings lives in Greece and is known with some renown in circles of poetry. She has published many poems that have made an impact on people. But in her piece, Why Bother with Poetry?, Stallings makes the case that poetry is not necessary. In other words, it doesn't serve some kind of immediately pragmatic function. Let me read further from her piece. She says, bards and vagabonds have been linked since Homer and Hesiod. Beggar hates beggar, quote, and bard hates bard, end quote. Poetry, Stallings says, beyond commercial concerns, mostly because there is no money in it, I'm sure she knows that from experience, and irrelevant to power, unacknowledged legislators aside, should at least have the prerogative of not being entirely respectable. She's being a bit provocative here, as we can tell. She continues, I tend to write poetry when I'm playing hooky from another project. Prose like this, say, or translation. Poetry is where I go to play, but also where I go to seek solace. In reading A.E. Stallings' piece, Why Bother with Poetry?, I was reminded that poetry, as she says, is not fundamentally necessary. Most of us don't go around spitting out poetry in answer to basic everyday questions. Poetry is a privilege. Poetry is a result of the desire in mankind to make beauty, to form beauty with language, to structure language and call forth emotion through language, connect to others through the experience portrayed in a poem, the language given in a poem. Poetry, in other words, you could say it this way, poetry is part of a beautiful world. Poetry does not exist in a mechanistic, utilitarian, closed system. At least, the very least, there's no reason for poetry. If everything is just atoms, if everything depends on chance and randomness, which is to say, there's a kind of natural sovereignty that takes place instead of a personal one. There's no reason to write poetry. There's no reason to sing praises. There's no reason to write elegies and be sad about the deepest sadnesses of life. But if this world has been created, which is quite a statement when you think about it, if God rules over the cosmos, if this realm is filled with tragedy and drama and beauty and triumph, then we have a reason for poetry. Then there is a reason to sing. Then there is a reason to structure language so as to call forth emotion and evoke deepest feeling, portray ultimate reality. Poetry in the modern era has been basically ruined for many people. I'm going to wager that a good number of folks out there never read poetry. In some cases, maybe a good number of cases, this is because the poetry that we read growing up in school when we had to read it wasn't necessarily that inspiring. Perhaps we read old school poetry and we didn't like the kind of hard rhyme schemes that one had to participate in. Of course, on the other hand, a lot of us have read some, at least some, free-form poetry and found that lacking as well. A poet kind of giving you a stream of conscious rendering of their subjective thoughts that doesn't necessarily have any immediate connection to reality that a normal human being can discern. Poetry is not faring well for many people today. It seems outdated. It does seem extravagant. And the poetry that many people have read does not necessarily stir them or connect with them. We've got to recognize as Christians, though, that here, as on many other areas, we have great reason to appreciate, even reverence poetry. Much of the Bible is poetry. Even many sections of historical scripture include poetry. There are hymns, for example, in the New Testament that are poetic in nature. The poetry of the Psalms, just to cite one biblical book, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, Song of Songs, there is profound poetry. God-inspired, God-breathed poetry in the Bible. So Christians are in an awkward place here if we claim that poetry has no connection to the Christian life and is a waste of time, is a mere extravagance, because our scripture is brimming with poetic exclamation, with poetic rumination. The church today, I think, can recognize the power and the beauty of poetry. In other words, we can spot in an essay like the one A.E. Stallings has written, something of truth that is found everywhere in this world. I was referencing the beauty and the drama and the tragedy, the triumphs of this world. Part of the reason why we believe in poetry, I think, as Christians, is because there is a need to express our connection to the world, our experience of this fallen and yet good world that God has made, with more than mere descriptive language. In other words, it's not enough simply to say, I don't know, the fall is unfortunate, or it stinks that your day is going badly, or I am very affectionate toward you, spouse, when I think about you. I'm not going to say that there's no place for direct speech, of course. I am trying to say, though, the fact that this world is an enchanted and haunted world calls forth the need for language that is more than mere communication of information. The fact that this is a God-made world, I think, calls forth the need for poetry and poetic reflection. There's so many poems that we can think about that have stirred us profoundly. It's very hard, really, and Stallings notes this, to capture exactly what it is, exactly precisely what it is about poetry that is so compelling to us when, that is, we read a stirring work of art along these lines. I think, of course, of Dylan Thomas's poem, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, which has seeped into popular culture in different areas, even in recent years. Thomas is writing about the close of life and the need, I suppose, not to die quietly, and he says this in his famous poem. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight. Blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. There's doubtless many things that we could draw from a poem like this. I think we have here a very powerful example of how poetry can enable us to put our experiences of the deepest things of this life, the waning of our existence, a loved one slipping away into death. I think poetry can enable us to reckon with these experiences, to consider it afresh from a new angle, to reflect on it, to even curse a fallen world that is so filled with pain. When you read a poem like Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night, you recognize that poetry may, in point of fact, not be pragmatically necessary, but poetry can be compelling. Poetry can lend insight into the beauty, the drama, the tragedy, and the triumph of this fallen world. Christians can appreciate that more, I think, than just about anyone. Thanks for listening to City of God, a podcast of the Center for Public Theology at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We're so thankful you stopped by. We encourage you to continue to join the conversation at cpt.mbts.edu, the official website of the center. And we encourage you to follow us on Twitter and Facebook as well. Join us in coming days as we continue the conversation on what it means to be the city of God in the city of man.